unpredictable end to a life of crime.
It's a jungle out here.
Underworld kingpin Pasquale Barbaro's body sprawled on a footpath, gunned down execution style. Barbaro was ambushed in his car after paying a visit to the Elwood home of another underworld figure, George Alex. 18 months ago, Alex fronted the Building Royal Commission amid claims he was a standover man.
As you mentioned, Pagey, before the break, Yoni Bishan is a two-time award-winning journalist and has been the Daily Telegraph's crime reporter for the past 6 years, and we've got him on the line to cover this latest occurrence. I suppose, Yoni, the truth behind this shooting, we want to know what's going on. It's a massive thing.
Yeah, and the truth is this is going to be what police call a very protracted investigation, and it quite simply, it's because Pasquale Barbaro had a lot of enemies, and there were a lot of people out there that really didn't like him. And I mean, among the list of reasons why he might have been got 2 nights ago, I mean, there were whispers that he was involved in a drug rip to the tune of $1 million. He'd recently fallen out with some pretty major Middle Eastern organized crime figures. A couple of months ago, actually, he'd been pretty badly beaten up by a couple of those figures in a very swanky Sydney restaurant. And then there's also the as you mentioned in the opener, the George Alex factor. George Alex's business partner, Joanne Toon, had been murdered back in 2013. And Pasquale, he was never charged over the murder, but he was kind of a key figure on the periphery of that murder. And the people who had been charged over it are currently before the courts. And some pretty damning evidence involving Pasquale was due to be played in the court yesterday. So, I mean, it's something that's interesting, and whether police are going to be looking at it remains to be seen, but these are all factors that could have amounted to this man's death.
Yoni, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm sure John Howard brought in legislation regarding guns. And like, if the police know these guys have got weapons and they got guns, I mean, I'm just picturing people in, you know, on rural lands who had to hand in their guns and hand them back, picking up the paper every single day, going, what are there certain rules for the criminals and certain rules for the men on the land?
Well, exactly. And there's probably many people out there who are extremely frustrated by the fact that they did the right thing and handed in their guns. And yet there are so many criminals out there who are able to get these weapons on the black market. One of the things that I guess people might forget is that there's between the black market and the legitimate market is what we call the grey market. And the grey market is where a lot of black market weapons, so for example, the guns that might have been used in the attack 2 nights ago, were actually diverted or stolen from people's homes on rural land. And this happens with great frequency.
Right.
And then they're sold into the underworld. And that's how there are so many weapons out there. It's very easy for these people to get guns because they're so frequently stolen from legitimate dealers and legitimate owners of weapons that we are allowed to have in this country.
Repercussions, Yoni. What about that? The fact now that someone's got him, so now they're going to go, well, I'm going to go and get him, and then he's going to go and get someone else. And there are another part of it. People think, well, bad people are killing bad people. Is that such a bad thing?
I always say yes, it is a bad thing when people do kill bad people, and it's not because of the people involved, but there's always a risk that when you're firing shots in a public place, a bullet could hit an innocent person or could go into a house. And also, it just makes places really unpleasant to live. If you live on a street where bad people live and where shots get fired, you don't really want to live there. You don't really want to send your kids to school there. And it becomes very hard for people to just kind of live their lives, and it creates a perception of crime. So it is a bad thing when people kill each other. As for repercussions, my feeling in this case, probably not. People always talk about repercussions whenever an underworld figure gets killed, and there's always talk of a big war blowing up. And in this particular case, there's talk about four or more bodies that could be coming. Look, most of the time, when people in the underworld get killed, the reprisals that happened are usually about face-saving rather than revenge. Right. And Pasquale Barbaro came from a family that was already very powerful and has a very strong legacy going back many, many generations. They're not really on the streets so much as the Middle Eastern crime family. So there's less of an imperative for them to go out and try and save face in that way. So my prediction is probably not that much retribution.
Yoni, is any link to the Underbelly series we saw on TV and back in Melbourne? I note that Pasquale's cousin with the same name was shot dead during the 2003 Melbourne gangland war while in the company of underworld figure Jason Moran.
Yeah, and so this is the thing about a guy like Pasquale Barbaro and his family, that they're so inextricably linked and embedded in the underworld of not just Sydney, but Australia as a whole. But there are links going all over the place and all over the country. So, for example, Pasquale's grandfather, who also had the same name as him, Pasquale Barbaro, he was murdered in 1990 in Brisbane. And then, as you rightly pointed out, his cousin, also same name, Pasquale Barbaro, murdered in 2003 in Melbourne alongside Jason Moran, the famous underbelly figure. And then, believe it or not, an uncle, also the same name, Pasquale Barbaro, now serving 30 years over the world's biggest ecstasy bus. That was a 15 million pills or 4.4 tons that were imported into Melbourne back in 2008. And that is yet to be beaten. That was the largest ecstasy bus the world has ever seen, and that was 15 million pills brought into the country in tomato tins.
Is that in the Guinness Book of Records?
I would say so. Yeah.
Thanks, Yoni.
Yoni Bishan, the crime reporter for the Daily Telegraph. We hope this doesn't explode into a big thing, but we'll follow the story. And thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.